I'm going to invite Chris to come up now. If you're at home, you can stretch out a hand towards the screen. If you're here in the church building, we can stretch out our hands towards Chris and pray for him now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, come now by your Holy Spirit. Fill Chris again with your Holy Spirit and speak through him to us all. Open our ears that we can hear what you are saying to us. For you are holy, Lord God. You are worthy of it all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Janet. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to those of you on the live stream, watching through Facebook and YouTube. Good morning to all of you here. It's just wonderful to be here with you all. My name's Chris, as Janet just said. I'm a curate here at Christ Church. And I've been part of the church family for nearly 4 years now. I've found it just the most wonderful family to be a part of. We are continuing our series about the Holy Spirit. It's so exciting as a church family to be just listening to some of the words that Jesus spoke to us and to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. And that's where we're going to focus our attention this morning. Last week, Paul talked to us from the passage in John 16 at the first half of that, where Jesus begins to speak about the Holy Spirit. It's part of Jesus' final words to his disciples before he's crucified, where he's just giving them this huge amount of information about how things are going to be. And today we're going to look at the second half of John 16. And we're going to focus in on just four verses. And I'm going to read those to us now. So if you have a Bible to hand or one you can switch on, then turn with me to John 16 and verses 12, and we'll read through to verse 15. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples shortly before he went to be crucified. He says to them, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Wow. Just in those few verses, and there's so much here, we could read the whole of John 14, John 15, John 16, and it's just this rich depth of Jesus' words to his disciples. But just in these four verses, we're drawn into what life with the Holy Spirit is going to be like, and that's what we're going to unpack this morning. As a way into that, I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where your perspective has shifted. Many years ago, I climbed Ben Nevis, and there's many routes up Ben Nevis, and the route we were taking on this occasion was via the Caer Mordaig Arete, this ridge that runs across and then up to the summit. Now, my apologies to anyone of Scottish descent if my pronunciation there has been poor. Graham's on our sofa welcome, and I'm sure at the end he would be able to give us the proper, with a Scottish accent, the correct pronunciation of that. Anyway, this Caer Mordaig Arete, it's just the most beautiful ridge and a wonderful way to ascend that mountain. But we'd woken up at the campsite, it was wet, cloud was thick, and just everything was dripping in water. And we walk off, and we walk down through, you have to go through a valley before you climb up the slope and zigzag up to the ridge. And we're just walking through thick cloud, thinking, okay, this is going to be our day. It's a day in the rain, and we're walking up Ben Nevis. Okay, fair enough. As we walk up the side of the slope up to the ridge, the cloud begins to thin. But it's not that the cloud is lifting, it's that our position is changing in relation to the cloud. By the time we reach the ridge, we are in glorious sunshine, blue skies. We can see the ridge stretching ahead of us and the route up to the summit of Ben Nevis. And beneath our feet in the valley is this thick blanket of cloud. Our position had changed. We were seeing things differently. And here's the metaphor I want us to go into what Jesus is saying with here. The position change we had there on that mountain brought about a change in perspective. Our perspective now for the whole day had shifted to one of an amazing walk with amazing views, and we could see where we were going. And that's what's happening here. There is a change in position that Jesus is teaching the disciples about in terms of their relationship with Jesus that is going to bring about a change in perspective for the disciples in terms of them being able to see the fullness of Jesus' glory. Let's start looking at this. Last week, Paul talked to us about these verses from John 16. Let me just read a couple of them. Jesus says to his disciples, very truly, and when Jesus is saying very truly, we're like, okay, I'm listening. I tell you, it's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He's telling them, hey, this is going to be for your absolute good. You've been walking with me, you've seen me, I'm here with you, but actually that's all going to change. But it's all for your good. Let's hold on to that for a moment. You see, the difference the disciples are about to go into, and remember, they are the other side of Pentecost. Yeah, they're before. They've still got Jesus' crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension to be with the Father, and Pentecost and the Holy Spirit coming. That's all to come. We stand the other side of that, and we're like, well, we can see all this, and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. If you've chosen to put your life into the hands of Jesus, the safest place it can be, if you've trusted your life to Jesus, then you will have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. So there's the shift. Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, you won't be with me in the way we are now. I'm going to be dwelling in you. The Holy Spirit, who is God, is going to dwell in you. What an amazing change. It's all about an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes people think about the Holy Spirit as like a force or a sort of substance or something just spiritual. But look how Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. The bit we read first, Jesus always talks about the Holy Spirit as a person. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so it's not that we just connect with some substance that is the Spirit. It's that we are invited into a relationship with God. You see, because the Holy Spirit is holy, completely, totally God. Just as Jesus is holy, completely, and totally God. Just as the Father is too. We're invited into a relationship with the Holy Spirit to give our attention to the Holy Spirit. So that's the shift in position. It's a shift we see clearly for the disciples as we reach on into Pentecost, and we'll see that happen in just a couple of weeks when we celebrate Pentecost. We'll see how that changes everything for the disciples. But what's the perspective change that goes with that change of position? Let's come back to our verses in John 16. Jesus speaking to them, I have much more to say to you. More than you can now bear. Isn't that just the biggest cliffhanger? You know, imagine sitting with Jesus. He says, hey, look, I have got so much more to tell you. And you're like, yeah, okay, I'm ready. He said, yeah, but you can't bear it right now. You're like, oh, come on. But he doesn't leave them there. He says, look, but you're not ready for it yet. But when the Spirit of truth comes, then he will guide you into all truth, into everything I want to tell you now that you're not ready for. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you into all of that. Now notice that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Back in John 14, we see that for the first time. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. In John 15, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And here in John 16, again, the Spirit of truth. We live in a culture where truth is relative. Where people say it's okay for you to believe that and me to believe this, and we'll get on fine, even though what we believe might be opposing. Jesus is saying, no, here is the source of truth, God, the Spirit. But the Spirit leading us into all truth, I mean, that is not like the most perfect search engine or encyclopedia. It's not like we can just go and say, well, I want to know about whatever it is, and I'll just ask the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell me. That's to put the Holy Spirit at our beck and call. Now, we live our lives in submission to the Holy Spirit. And so what does the Holy Spirit reveal when we talk about all truth? Let's read on. He, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. That should remind us perhaps of some words of Jesus back in John 5, verse 19. Jesus says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. We have this wonderful relatedness between the Father and the Son. The Son does what the Father does. And here, the Holy Spirit speaks what he hears from the Son and the Father. And read on, verse 14. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, that's Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And so when Jesus says to his disciples, look, there's so much more I'm going to tell you. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you into all truth. He's saying to them, you're going to see the fullness of my glory. So right now, they see Jesus walking with them. They see his glory in part. But the Holy Spirit's going to just magnify and bring a new perspective to how they see Jesus. That's the perspective shift. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus. And then read on. All, verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. The Father's given the Son everything. Jesus is wholly and completely God. The Spirit receives from the Son everything from Jesus and makes known to the disciples. So when we have that position change of welcoming Jesus into our life, receiving the Holy Spirit, our perspective of Jesus is enlarged because we start to see the glory of Jesus. Now, this perspective shift is multifaceted. You see, because here Jesus is talking to his disciples, some of whom will go on and write the Gospels. Some of whom will write letters in the Bible. So they're going to be writing words that we're reading now. It's so good that Jesus leads them into all truth, because here we have truth written by their hand. But that's not all. So I've already said, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, our perspective of Jesus enlarged, we see his glory more fully. So that's his general work in us as we read the Bible, as we pray, as we spend time with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is glorified. We see his glory more clearly. It's not that Jesus becomes more glorious. He already is completely glorious. It's just that our seeing of him becomes larger. We see him more fully. And then there's a very specific way that the Holy Spirit shifts our perspective. And we're going to focus the remainder of our talk on this. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. Deb's in the worship just mentioned a couple. She talked about words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Encouraged us to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying. We had a couple of words shared in our chat. And as a family, as we listen to those words, as a family, we are all enriched by that sharing of truth. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 briefly, and you may want to turn there in your Bibles. We'll be looking from verse 7 onwards. When we start talking about gifts, I think it's necessary first to lay a bit of a foundation. You see, because gifts sometimes are seen in a wrong way. And what I want to just start with is just to say, look, gifts, they're not badges of status or achievement or something like that. It's not like, oh, well, haven't got the gift of prophecy, and therefore that person who has is like more important than me. No, that's rubbish. That's not what the Holy Spirit's about here. They're tools. They're tools to bring glory to Jesus. They're tools so that as the people of Jesus, we can build God's kingdom in response to what the Holy Spirit asks us. He equips us with the tools we need. And so I just want to say to you as we go into this talk, this bit of the talk about gifts, if you're feeling like, well, you're talking about the Holy Spirit and talking about gifts, I haven't got any gifts. Please, please don't feel any sense of anxiety. You are fully, completely, totally loved by God. Whether you have some gifts or you don't have gifts, it doesn't matter. You are totally loved by God. We are all equal before God. The gifts are simply tools that the Holy Spirit gives to different people at different times in order to glorify Jesus and build God's kingdom. And I said there are different gifts. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a list of them. That's by no means an exhaustive list. You can go elsewhere in the Bible, and there are other lists of gifts. So please don't just rest on just those ones. And they are, you read verse 11. This is just such beautiful words. Verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 12. All these gifts that have just been listed are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as he determines. The Holy Spirit is all about, as we just heard, revealing truth. The truth of who Jesus is. And part of that is to give us gifts. And if you flip over to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, you'll find that writing on love. And just at the start, let me just read those first, that opening couple of verses. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Paul there is reminding us that in every way that we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it is always to be grounded in love. Not just any love, but that perfect love that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. We're just going to pick out four gifts. There's this list of them in 1 Corinthians 12. Four that are particularly to do with the revealing of truth. In verse 8 we find, to one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. That sense of knowing God's mind on something. To another, a message of knowledge. A knowledge about truth. A knowledge that glorifies Jesus. We read down a bit further. To another, prophecy. And then on a bit further. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And so on. And we just see in that sense that it is, well, I'm going to give a gift. The Holy Spirit gives a gift to that person and to that person and to that person and to that person. It's not like one person gets all the gifts and someone else. It's just the Holy Spirit working, building us as God's people together. But notice particularly those gifts, gift of wisdom, of knowledge, of prophecy, and of distinguishing between spirits, are all about revealing truth. And as the Holy Spirit's gifts exercised within the family of God, we are all edified. One person brings a word of wisdom to a situation because the Holy Spirit has given that person a gift. The whole church family is then able to move forward in that decision based on that word of wisdom. That might be confirmed by someone else bringing a word of knowledge. Perhaps before that, someone else had brought a word of prophecy that was starting to get our attention that God was pulling us in a particular direction as a church family. And perhaps within that, when we've been praying, there's been another with a word of discernment of good or evil spirits, and that's helped us to know how to pray for God's work in a particular situation. So you see how these gifts are always for the purpose of God's kingdom work and for the purpose of glorifying Jesus and expressing Jesus' love in our midst. And so Jesus' words here to the disciples, whilst we can look at those as saying, okay, well, he's speaking to disciples, telling them that you're going to need to know truth because you're going to be writing words in what is going to be the Bible, and they don't know that yet. Actually, Jesus' words are to us as well, saying the Holy Spirit, through giving each of you gifts, through dwelling in you, is going to lead you, your perspective, to see things as God sees them. So go back to my walk up that mountain. When we're on the ridge, suddenly we can see where we're heading. How do we as the people of God see where God's calling us? We see that because God gives one person, two people, 10 people in our midst the gift of prophecy or knowledge or wisdom or discerning of spirits, and we start to catch a hold of what God is doing in our midst and where God's calling us as his people and what God is asking of us in terms of proclaiming Jesus. Now, as we draw to a close, I just want to cover a few practical matters around the gifts. How do we receive gifts from the Spirit? You know, what do we just wait until some download and there we are and suddenly, oh, wow, Holy Spirit's given me that gift? Is that a thing where we just sit back and wait for it to happen? We said earlier the Holy Spirit is a person. We're invited into relationship. And that's the place where we go to find gifts. You see, the gifts come about through relationship. And so our attention as followers of Jesus is actually to say, let me sit with the Holy Spirit. Let me learn to attend to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me receive what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to me. As I read the word, let me allow the Holy Spirit to bring these words alive and plant them deep in my heart. That is to be our focus. And in the midst of that, simply to come before the Holy Spirit with an openness that says, Holy Spirit, I am ready to receive all that you want to give to me so that I can do the work that you call me to in the way that you ask me to do it. I think that is the place for how do we receive gifts. We simply walk, draw you closer, as close as you can to the Holy Spirit through reading God's word, through praying, through spending time with the Holy Spirit. And in the midst of that, just be openly receptive to whatever the Holy Spirit might give you. And don't worry, because the Holy Spirit determines when and to whom the Holy Spirit gives gifts. Just draw close. We've already touched on the sense of us being as a family and the gifts in operation in the family and how that edifies us all. There's something about growing in the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us that involves practice. And you know, practice can sometimes be a bit messy. I don't know, maybe some of you play musical instruments and you will have had those moments of learning where it just doesn't seem to all be coming together and the notes feel wrong, and that's just part of learning something. And you know, the gifts are a bit like that. We learn how to, if we've got a gift of prophecy, how to hear the Holy Spirit well, and sometimes we might speak something and might think, oh, maybe I missed that. Maybe that wasn't right. But you know, family is a place of safety. Family is a place of grace. A place where we can recognize gifting in each other and have the safety to try and say, well, I think the Holy Spirit's saying this. And for it to be okay if sometimes it's wrong. I don't know if you've ever received a prophetic word from someone and you've just thought, I'm just not sure. And you place it on the shelf there and think, I'll think about that. That's part of us just being family and learning how to give and receive from each other in a way that embodies Jesus' love, given and received to and from each other. And so there is all of that packed into this revealing of truth. We've drawn a lot out of these few verses, and we've used that to travel to other places where Jesus has spoken and his disciples have spoken. Where I want to close is a recognition that the Holy Spirit is at work amongst us and the excitement that that brings. You see, the disciples, they just didn't know what they were about to walk into. They didn't know about Pentecost. We look back and we see the tongues of fire and we hear about all of that, and we're going to celebrate that in a couple of weeks. This is a really exciting place. This is a place for all of us who trusted in Jesus. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us as individuals, as a family, wants to call us on to be his kingdom people, building God's kingdom in the way that he wants, and to glorify Jesus in the process of doing that. And so as each of us go into this week, my encouragement to each of us is find time this week to sit, stand, go for a walk, go for a bike ride, whatever, but just be present with the Holy Spirit. To be present. You might take a Bible with you. You might read some of Jesus' words. You might read a psalm. Give your attention to the Holy Spirit. If you're like, well, I don't feel like the Holy Spirit's here, how do I know whether the Holy Spirit's there? Be assured that whether you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit or not, if you've trusted in Jesus and placed your life into his hands, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. His presence is with you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit makes us aware of his presence. Ask him. Say to the Holy Spirit this week, would you just show me your presence? Let me know you're present with me. And speak with him. Say, I'm open, Holy Spirit, to receive from you. So why don't we do that now? I'm just going to invite you, if you would like to stand with me. And maybe if you're on watching this on Facebook or YouTube, you may also want to just stand. And again, just an invitation, but you may would like to just place your hands out in that sense of, I'm here, Holy Spirit. I'm here, I'm adopting a posture of just receiving from you. Only if you want to. And I'm simply going to pray for us here. Pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. And not just in each of our lives, but in us as a family of people as well.